Welcome, everyone, to our advanced class. It's nice to know that you're listening in out there. And in our studio today, we have two of our teachers here to help us. I'm so glad to welcome Pauline. How are you today, Pauline?
Hey, Doris. I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Pauline, are you still learning new skills all the time?
Oh, my goodness. I'm always learning, and especially now that I'm living in a new part of the world, I'm trying to learn a new language, as well as still being fairly new here at Studio Classroom Advanced Magazine. So there are lots of skills that I'm learning right now.
Well, don't you think that we need to always keep on learning new skills?
I think that's part of human life and growth is learning. Yeah, I think as long as we're alive, we should be growing and learning.
That's true. Well, David, I'm glad that you could be with us today.
Thank you.
And David, you've finished all your schooling and everything, haven't
you?
That's
right.
But are you still learning?
Yes, I think, you know, as you go to a new place every time, you get to learn different things. So you are always learning new things.
That's true. And we need to keep learning things because, you know, they say if you don't go forward, you'll go backwards.
Exactly.
And you will be, you know, forgetting things. So I think it's important. But another thing is the world that we live in today has so many new things happening and discovering all the time. And if you don't learn them, then you'll just get so far behind you just want to give up, right?
Yeah, that's true. Of course, the other part, though, that's hard is that we live in a really fast-paced world. A lot of people have a lot of responsibilities they're trying to juggle. So it is. I think this article is going to be really nice because it helps us think about how to maximize the time that we do have to learn as quickly and thoroughly as possible.
That's true. And this article is on page 26, and it is about learning new job skills. And it says that there are 8 research-backed, people have researched, ways to learn and retain in more or less time. So not only have to learn, but we have to retain, don't we?
Right. So there are many Mandarin words that I have been taught that, to be honest, I learned for a second, but I cannot remember. I didn't retain them. And that's not so helpful. What we really want is to learn and retain new skills and information. So apparently this article today is going to teach us how to do that. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
So retain means what?
To keep, right?
Right.
Like I remember like back when I'm still studying, like people study for the test, and then they cram all in one night, they take the test, and then they forget everything.
Right. Yeah. Because they can't retain it because it's just
right.
Too much. So when we learn something, we want to remember it. We want to keep it. It want to be ours. So that's what we're going to try to find out about. So let's see what we can discuss this article together and see if we can all learn something from it. What do you think?
I think that sounds
good.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's start our reading then. We are on page 26 of your advanced magazine. We will start at the top of the left-hand column.
Learning new job skills faster. 8 research-backed ways to learn and retain more in less time. Carving out time to learn new job skills on top of your existing job responsibilities can be a challenge. So making the most of limited learning opportunities is essential. More learning is happening outside classrooms these days than in any classroom, says Robert Bjork, a psychology professor and co-head of the Bjork Learning and Forgetting Lab at UCLA. Knowing how to learn effectively is the ultimate survival tool.
All right, so here in this first paragraph, we continue to talk about this important subject of learning and how it is not something that we only do in the classroom. David, what's an example of what you are learning currently?
Well, I've been doing a lot of proofing, and while I'm doing proofing, I am always reminding myself and learning the small things and things that I need to focus on and make sure that I don't miss them.
Nice. That's a great example. And it goes along with what we're talking about today because we're specifically talking about learning new job skills so that we can do better at our job and finding ways to carve out time, to make time to learn those skills. It also says making the most of the time that we have, the limited learning opportunities we have, is essential. Doris, what does essential mean?
Well, that means it's necessary, absolutely necessary.
Absolutely it is. And reality is learning new job skills usually happens outside of a classroom. You know, many of us go to college and learn some technical skills there, but once you're out of university, then it's time to start our jobs, but it's not time to stop learning. There's a lot to learn there, and there are still ways to go about that. Hopefully, your education has prepared you to know how to keep learning. But if you're having a difficult time, I think this article will help remind you of some techniques and ways to keep learning.
Well, you know, it says here that more learning is happening outside of classrooms these days than in any classroom. But I always felt like I learned more outside of the classroom, too, even a long time ago. Because there's something about experience. This is why, you know, sometimes you have interns come because they study at school, but then when they go to companies, they learn how to do things. And I think there's a combination. Just studying out of books doesn't always help you remember it. So I think I've learned more outside the classroom, but we still need the classroom. What is the difference in learning inside and outside the classroom? What do you think?
One thing we say is that learning outside of the classroom is usually more hands-on, meaning you're actually doing the activity or the skills. You're applying your knowledge in a practical way versus usually in a school context, you're learning more of the head knowledge. You're reading, you're retaining new information.
There's a saying in Chinese. It says, 活到老,学到老.
Right.
And that means you're learning new things till you die, basically. Like,
right.
As long as you live, you are learning new things.
Well, and one thing about classrooms, of course, we have to have classrooms. We need them. And in the classroom, I think we learn skills of how to find things. Maybe you can't remember all the grammar rules. You can try to memorize them. But if you know a good grammar book or a good grammar thing on the web, you can check it out. So you learn the tools in a classroom, where to find things, how to do things, and you get experience expressing yourself. So classrooms are important, but you learn a lot when you're outside. So both ways, they work hand in hand, don't they?
They do. And like you said, hopefully they teach you how to learn. And as we see here, our psychology professor, Robert Bjork, says knowing how to learn effectively is the ultimate survival tool. Why would they say that?
Well, I think if you don't learn and you don't keep up, you just feel like you're out of everything and nothing worth living for. You know, a long time ago, when they first started having computers, I knew how to type, and I typed all the time during college and everything. But then computers came. I thought, I don't need to learn those. I know how to type. But if I hadn't learned computers, then I wouldn't know how to do some of the things we do on our mobile websites. And we wouldn't learn how to do. So you cannot just wait and jump ahead. You have to learn one by one. And so many new things come in every day. And you can't say, I'm too old to learn. Some people say, I'm too old to learn how to use that. Of course you're not too old. You're still alive.
Absolutely. Right. And, you know, especially when we're talking about a job context, I think it is a particularly appropriate word to use this word survival. If you're not willing to continually learn new skills in your job and be the best you can be, you probably won't survive in that role for a long time.
That's right. You have to keep up, don't we? Right.
Well, let's see what some of the ways are that they suggest we utilize to retain and learn more information.
Here are 8 ways you can learn and retain more knowledge more quickly. 1. Test yourself. Use flashcards or a similar device that forces you to retrieve the information you've studied. That very act of testing yourself and retrieving information is about the most powerful learning activity we know, Bjork says. It doesn't just reveal if the information or procedures are in your memory, it makes it much more recallable in the future. It's much more effective than merely reading and rereading information.
right, so here we're getting into the practical ideas for how to help ourselves learn and retain information more quickly. Have you used this first one, testing yourself with flashcards, David?
Definitely. I think every teacher asks students to use flashcards because this is the most simple and effective way.
It helps you to remember, you know, it kind of gives you a little review so you can get the information back. You learned it, but you can't remember it. So retrieve means to get it back.
That's right. And it is important to know that we're able to do that, right? Information that we've taken in doesn't really do us any good if we can't retrieve it at the moment that it's important, right? So language is always a good example. If you have taken some classes or thought that you learned some words, but you can't come up with them when the moment requires, then you've fallen short of what you really wanted to do with that knowledge. So flashcards are a great way to try and practice doing, recalling that information and being able to do it well.
And they are easy to carry around, right? You have some with you, right?
I do. I have some clipped onto my purse right now. I've got a bunch of Mandarin and mofo-mofo symbols.
And they can be used for a lot of different things, too. But the more you go over things, it's kind of reviewing, too, helps you retain it itself. So I think the more that you go over it, it makes it deeper into your mind. I mean, it just makes it more solid and printed solid in your mind, don't you?
Exactly. I think so, too. In fact, that's why we at Advanced Magazine put those flashcards at the back of the magazine for you. If you are hoping, if one of your goals this year is to add to your English vocabulary, that's a way that you can try it out yourself to take this tip and apply it. Start using those as flashcards and testing yourself to see if you can come up with the definition and proper pronunciation of these words we're learning.
Right, and I think, you know, like this testing yourself, that's the flashcards are one way, but there's all things on the web, there's ways to test yourself. The Reader's Digest used to always have a little test, and you can take those tests on the web. And you might not get the answers right, but you can take them over and over. So if you take them over till you get all the answers right, that's a good way to help you retain the knowledge too, don't you think?
That is another nice example. And really, there are so many applications, apps online anymore with your phones that a lot of them will do digital flashcards or other forms of testing online. So there's plenty of ways to do it if you're willing to put the intention into it. Well, let's see what their tip number two is. I really like tip number one. Let's see about tip number two.
Two, space out your learning. While you may be tempted to block out a large chunk of time to learn something, it's better to break it out into small sessions. According to Bjork, coming back to the information in a few hours is better than doing so right away. And coming back to it the next day is even better.
Okay, so tip number two, space out your learning. David, what do they mean by spacing out your learning?
Well, it is better to break it into smaller sessions, to take short periods, like 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there.
Exactly. You know, I know for myself, if I try and push myself too long focusing on one single subject, pretty soon I'm kind of, we say, spacing out. At that point, if you say you're spacing out, you're losing focus, right? So you start to get kind of glazed over, as another idiom, just to mean you've lost your focus, you're not really retaining, and taking little breaks can re-energize you and give you some time to let what you did learn sink in. Right.
That's true. In fact, that's what teachers have to do at school in a way. They have a certain period of time, usually 50 minutes or something. But if they just talk to the students the whole time, they can't understand it and they can't retain it. So they also have to break up their teaching time into small sessions and play a little game or have kids get up and do something. I think all of us have this thing where if it's too long, that we just can't remember it. I mean, we would like to, and we try, but I think doing things in small bites or small capsules is a very good way to do it. And so I think it's very important for us to think about, maybe I'm going to go over this today, but I won't remember it. I'll go over it tomorrow. I'll do it the next day. By Saturday, I'll remember it. So don't force yourself to be sure you have to learn it before you quit. I think that's too much. You won't remember it.
Right. And if you pressure yourself like that, I don't think that psychologically is helpful either.
No, you'll be discouraging.
Exactly. And ultimately, it's better to get into some manageable routines, right? If you're learning some new information that is going to take a while to learn, instead of trying to do one big long chunk on a weekend and then you get so frustrated or it's so unappealing that you don't ever do it again, maybe you can do 10 minutes in the morning, every morning, and 10 minutes at lunch. And I think sometimes those smaller chunks, not only is it better for our brain, but it's also better for us emotionally, and our motivation can hopefully stay higher as we take it on in chunks that aren't quite as daunting.
I think that's true, you know, with everything in our life, even exercising. You say, I'm going to exercise, so you overdo it, but you just do a little bit and you add to it. So I think this is a very good principle to think of for learning and doing things, don't you?
I agree. So far, I am very happy with the tips they've given us.
So we've got two so far, but there's going to be more.
That's right. We have a third one. Should we go ahead on to
sure.
that? All right.
Three, expand your practice intervals. With the first learning, you need to practice retrieval fairly often, says Henny Rodiger, co-author of Make It Stick, The Science of Successful Learning. As you get to know the information better and better, you can wait longer and longer until you practice again, Rodiger, a professor of psychology at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri, has his students study state names and capitals and test them periodically throughout the semester. I get them to learn them all, Rodiger says, and I tell them, if you practice this once a month for the rest of your life, you'll know these forever.
All right, another practical tip for us here. Expand your practice intervals. Doris, what's the difference between this tip and the one that we just had?
Well, it kind of reminds me of it a little bit, don't you think so?
It is similar.
When you expand something, it means just make it a little bit longer in between, right?
Right. So, well, let's take the example of deciding that you're going to study something for 15 minutes every day.
Okay.
That would be spacing out your learning. Every day, you're not doing really long chunks, but you've got a consistent format where you're practicing maybe one set of information. But at some point, you'll decide, I know this well enough. I don't need to keep practicing it every day. But at some point, you do want to bring it back up again. So maybe you say, okay, on the weekend, every weekend now, I'm going to remember that particular information, and I'm going to put new information into my daily routine. And then
that's a good idea.
Maybe after a month of that, then you say, only once a month am I going to review this information,
right?
Because now I have it down enough. So you're slowly expanding the time in between when you review that information.
Yeah, that's very clear. In fact, somebody even wrote a book about it. This Henry Rodiger, he's a co-author of a book, Make It Stick. I don't imagine writing a whole book about that. But anyway, the book is called The Science of Successful Learning. And imagine writing a whole book about that. But evidently, if you really want to learn and you're having problems, you might want to get that book. Who knows?
Right. Well, you know, I guess it does make sense. We didn't cover it, but earlier they talked about how it's not really as effective to learn something if you just reread the information over and
That's
over.
True. Yeah.
That you need to learn how to do
Use
these different
it.
Things to highlight what's important and test yourself in different ways so that you really learn and you're not wasting all this energy trying, which is such a good thing to be doing, but maybe not in the most effective way. So I can see the practicalness of a book like that, although it is hard to imagine that you'd have a whole book's worth
right.
of information.
But like you said, though, I think it's important to say that, you know, you can wait longer, because if you keep doing like 15 minutes on this and this, there's new things to learn and there's no space for them. So you have to make way for other space too. So you say, well, now I've learned that pretty well. I'm not going to forget it. I'll bring it up, but not so often, because I have to learn other things, too. You can't just learn that one thing. So you have to make space for other stuff in your life to learn, don't you think?
Yeah, I like the fact that it is actually scientifically proven, because I think, like, many kids, they would whine to their parents saying, oh, I can't remember this, you know. But it's good that there are actually sources out there that says you can do it.
Right. Well, and they quote all these people, you know, from different schools, and they, people that are in education, they're trying to think of ways to help us remember things more. And, you know, see, is there a better way to learn, don't you think, a better way to study? So that's why they write this article.
And I do appreciate that professors are thinking about that. Their whole job is to help others learn, so I think it's important that they're paying attention to what's the best way to go about that. Just a little note here. We talk about this professor of psychology at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. Even for me, for a second, this was confusing because they say Washington University, which
Washington
is a state. Right.
Yeah.
And then it's in Missouri. But just there is a
probably
reminder.
Probably named after George Washington.
Exactly.
Right.
Washington is also a name. It comes from a very famous historical person in the United States. So that's why Washington University.
Right. Well, he has his students study the state names in the capitals. I think I had to learn that once in, I don't know, grade school or high school. Did you ever have to learn those? I don't know if I could say them all now, though. I haven't reviewed them recently.
It's been a while.
That's what I was thinking, too. I know I did. I was homeschooled, so my mom taught me until I was in fifth grade. Then I went to public school. But, man, being homeschooled, for me, my experience was we had to learn so much more than everybody else. So I did learn all the states and the capitals. I had them all memorized.
Can you remember them now?
But,
don't
you
have to say them now.
I haven't done,
I'm not going to test you.
I haven't done this practice interval thing. It's been now 20 years, so unfortunately, I don't think I could do it either.
But, you know, that might not be as important as some other things. But, you know, some things are more important than others, too. I think that's important.
Well, one thing that comes to mind for me is that for a long time, I studied Spanish, and I studied it every day. I lived in it, so I was surrounded by it daily, and it was something I was practicing and constantly recalling, right? But now I'm living in Asia, and I'm putting a lot of energy into learning Chinese, exactly. However, it still needs to be somewhat on my radar that Spanish is still this language that I put a lot of time and effort into
learning. And you can still read it sometimes or listen to it.
Occasionally, exactly, I need to go back. I don't need to do it daily. It's not new stuff for me, so that is not the interval I need. But every once in a while, I should go back so I don't lose it like I did the state capitals 20 years ago.
That's right. But, you know, this man says, well, if you practice them once a month for the rest of your life, you'll know them forever. But to me, that's not important enough, because some things are. But, you know, now we can Google everything and find out. If I want to know what's the capital of that, I'll just put it in there and ask the computer. So some things are more important to remember. Some things that the computer can't tell you.
Right.
And some things you need to know how to do. So I would say be selective in what you go over. Just don't do something and say, oh, I can say all the capitals. Well, so what, you know? Learn important things.
I agree. And that is the joy of learning outside of the classroom, right? Is that we don't have a teacher mandating to us exactly what it is we need to learn. So now as adults in our own careers, we can choose what information we prioritize as the most important for our lives to have learned and to be able to quickly retrieve from our memory.
And don't you think so? You think it's important to remember all the capital cities?
Well, yeah, like you said, now we have Google. We can look it up anytime.
Yeah.
But definitely, like, for example, an anniversary or stuff like that.
Yes.
You know, there are other more important things that the internet can tell you, can't tell you. And
people's names and their birthdays and all that, some of those things. But there are important things, or learning how to find out new information. So we do need to expand what we're practicing. But I would say let's choose important things, too.
Absolutely. And I'm really glad you brought up that example of people's names. All I could think of was language, because that's what my world is right now, is learning language. But names are such an important thing to be able to recall quickly. It really expands our social lives and our ability to function well in many jobs, right? It requires that we know a lot of names and are able to be good salespeople often comes with remembering names. So this is that's a nice application point for this that we're learning too.
People often come up to you and say, do you remember me? And then it's always polite to just tell them your name first and say, I'm Doris or I'm David. Mm-hmm. Do you remember me? So say that first. Give them a little hint.
Oh, that's a good trick. Yeah. That is a nice way to do it.
But there are some more skills we have to talk about. And I guess we'll do that tomorrow because we have 2 days on this lesson.
That's right. And we're just about out of time. We are so grateful that you guys have come and carved out the time to learn with us.
And you'll retain more if you listen in to advance every day. So we'll see you in class tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.